Today's Shir is Masechta Menachos, Daf Ayin Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Vav on Beis at the bottom of the Amid as we begin the new Perek. Our Perek in Mitzvah Hashem will discuss extensively the halachis of a Karban Taidah. As we know, the halach is Arbet Tzrichon L'Haydus. Under certain circumstances, people have the opportunity to bring a Karban Taidah for the wonderful things that Kadosh Baruch Hu did for them. In fact, as the Mefarshim explain, Taida, thanking Hashem for what He does for us, is essential and an important part of the way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the degree that I saw that the Mefarshim suggest that we know Chazar HaSashatz, the Shliach Tzibur, the Baal Tefillah, repeats the entire Shemoneh Esrei. The only part of the Chazar HaSashatz that the Tzibur says themselves is Maidim. Why? Because Maidim, this feeling of gratitude to Hashem, is a feeling that one can only experience himself. One has to come to the recognition himself. He can't rely on someone else saying the thank you on his behalf. Furthermore, as we've learned, as recently in yesterday's Shir, and we'll learn again, the Taida is Kachim Kalim. And normally, as we know by Karban Shlomi, which is also Kachim Kalim, the halach is it's nech l'yoyim, l'shnei yom v'layla. It may be eaten for 2 days and a night. Yet we find by Karban Taida, which is Kachim Kalim, it's nech only l'yoyim v'layla. It's only eaten for 1 day and one night. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Hashem, not only is it nech l'yoyim v'layla, the halach is that the Karban Taida, as we're going to speak quite extensively in Mitzvah Hashem in today's Shir, you had to eat 36 chalas along with the Karban Taidah. So why did Hashem require, what did the Torah tell us to eat it only, eat it up in 1 day? So again, the Mefarshim explain. Because as we said, the Karban Taidah represents our feeling of gratitude towards Hashem. And because it represents our profound feeling of gratitude to Hashem, we have to eat it. We can't rely today for tomorrow. Every day we have to have our own hargosha, our own emotion of thanking to Hashem. We say, in fact, it's the only carbon we speak about specifically in our tefillah. There are people that say karbonis, but there are people that don't say karbonis. But everybody says mizmor l'soida. Interesting to note, the mizmor l'soida has four psukim in it, and the farshim say it corresponds to the four types of loaves, lachmi taida, which is the primary subject of our perek, and it has 40 words. If you take out the words mizmor l'soida, it has 40 words, again, because as we've been learning, you have to bring 40 loaves, 4 times 10, that's why it has 40 words. And again, because this is the carbon that speaks to our essential feeling towards Hashem, a feeling of taida. Teaches us the Mishnah Taida Haisabah Chomesh Soim Yerushalayimis. The loaves that came along with the Karban Taida was supposed to be 5 Yerushalayim Degasah Shen Shesh Midbaris. As we will learn the first part of our Shia today, they changed how much goes into the measure. And what was originally 6 became, in the Midbar became 5. Of course, the Mishnah speaks about Yerushalayim before Midbar, even though the Midbar came chronologically before Yerushalayim, because the Mishnah speaking halach l'maisa. And once they arrived in Yerushalayim, what was in the Midbar is not really relevant. Shtei eifos, which equals to 2 eifa, which is really the amount the Torah says to bring as the Karban Taida. Tosfos interestingly points out that even though the Mishnah, as we're going to learn, they changed the amount that is the saw, the eifah seems to remain the same. That means two eifah. Eifah is shalosh isorin. Esrim isorin. They were made up of 20 isorin. Asar l'chametz v'asar l'matzah. That means, as we said earlier, there are 40 loaves that come along with the Karban Taida. 10 are chametz. 30 are matzah. We'll talk about that in a moment. And the Mishnah teaches us that even though it's a total of 40, and the chametz loaves are 10 of the 40, half of the flour, that means half of the 20 sarin of flour were used for the chametz loaves. Why? Why was such a large amount used for these sarin loaves? So I saw three different pshatim. The Sefarna says a very interesting pshat. He says, as we said, why does somebody bring a karmatida? Because he had a nace happen to him. That means he was in danger, and Hashem did a miracle, and he was freed. He was nitzel. Says the Sefarna, why does somebody get into trouble? Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu bring trouble to an individual? Because he did averus. Chametz, he says, represents the Yetzirah, Sar Shebi'isa. So it's the chametz that brought us into this entire mess, so to speak, and that's why the chametz is the most important component of the loaves of the carbon title. Sfarnas pshat. The Netziv takes a very different approach. He says, a person who brings a karmat Torah is not supposed to keep it quiet. He's supposed to celebrate. And of course he has to. He has to eat up the carbon b'yoyim v'layla. He doesn't have much time to eat up the whole animal. And now he has 36 loaves that he has to eat it along with it. So, which is exactly what the Torah wanted, to publicize the nes Hashem does for us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, so when we invite many people, what are you going to give them? Matzah? Matzah is lechem ayini. We give them chametz. So that's why the chametz loaves are the most important and the largest amount of the loaves. The maral usually goes with a machshava. Here he says a very practical pshat. He says the chametz loaves are allowed to be chametz. The matzah loaves may not be matzah. So what's one of the ways of preventing a dough from becoming chametz? By keeping it small. So the matzah loaves were much smaller than the chametz loaves in order to prevent, that they're not allowed to be chametz, to prevent them from becoming chametz. Asar l'chametz, as we said, 10 loaves were used to make the chametz loaf. Isar l'chala. Each challah was made up of an isar and a flour. Asar l'matzah. And the other 10 isarim were used for the three type of matzah loaf. Over matzah shalashminim, there were three type of matzah loaves. Chalas, rikikin, or revuka. What is the definition of revuka? The definition of the word revuka means scalded. But the question is exactly how did it happen? Machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim suggest that it was scalded with hot water, boiling water. Others say it was scalded with oil. From the Rambam, it seems there was really a two-step procedure. First, they scalded it with hot water, then they baked it a little, and then they afterwards put on hot oil. Furthermore, Machlokes rishonim, exactly when this scalding take place? Did it take place when it was still flour, or was it scalded like a bagel is made only after it's dough? I saw incredible, interesting Arzarua's a Rishon. He says, we all know that Pesach, by the Seder, we take three matzahs. He says, what's the significance of the three matzahs? So he says, it's connected to our Mishnah. He says that the Seder is essentially a Suda Soida. We're thanking Hashem that He took us out of Mitzrayim. And by Suda Soida, we're learning you have to bring the Lachmei Toida. But 10 of the Lachmei Toida that we just said are chametz. You can't have chametz at the Seder. So how many types of bread are you left with? 3. That's why we have 3 matzahs in the Korah. Nimtza, Shloish Asroina V'Shlish, L'Kol Min V'Min. If we have 10 Isarin left, and we have to divide that 10 asarin by 3. Each type of loaf each type of bread will be made up of 30 and a 30 asarin. Nimtza shloisha asarin v'shlish l'kamin v'min. V'shalosh chalas l'isarin. Every asarin will have 3 chalas in it. Says the Mishnah. That is if we use the original Midbar measurement. But as we began this year, they changed the evaluation. Over Midi Yushlaim, Hoy Shloshim Kav. If we follow the new valuation, there are 30 Kav, altogether a flour used for Lachmei Toida. But again, the division is the same division. Chamisha Osel Chametz, half of the flour was used for the Chametz loaves. Chamisha Osel Matzah, and half of it was used for the Matzah loaf. So, says the Mishnah, if we have chamishas l'chametz. If we have 15 kav for the chametz loaves, and we have 10 loaves, that means kav umachts l'chala. Each challah, each loaf, is made up of a kav umachts and flalo. If, as we continue saying, that there are another 15 kav of flour left over, chamish as l'matzah, for the matzah type of loaves, and as we said earlier, ube matzah shalosh minim, and there are three type of matzah loaves, chalas, rikikin, and ravuka. So we divide the 15 by 3, nimtza chameshis kavin l'chamin v'min. Each type of matzah loaf is comprised of 5 kav of flour, v'shtei chalas l'kav. So if you have 5 by 10, you have to have 10 loaves, and you have 5 kav, that means each challah is a half a kav big. Says the Gemara, Hataydais ba chamei soim yushlaimis. The Mishnah began by teaching us that the taydu was made up of 5 soim yushlaim. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, where does this come from? Says the Gemara, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel. Amr of Chizda, Dama Kro, Ha'efa v'abas toichen echad yelachem. Yecheskel is talking to Klal Yisrael and is telling them that they've been lax in Trumas and Maisris. And he tries to tell them, you have to be careful about the Trumas and Maisris. And he speaks about the different measurements that are used. And he says, Ha'efa v'abas toichen echad yelachem. Says the Gemara, Ma'abas, if abas is shol son, af efa is made up of Shloi Son. And that's how, as we learned in the Mishnah, that if the Toida is made up of 6 Saw, and the Toida has to be made up of 2 Eifah, because the Torah is made up of 2 Eifah, each Eifah being 3 Saw. Says the Gemara, Obas Gufa Menolan. So what we're saying is, since the Pasuk equates the Bas to the Saw, so if the Bas is 3 Saw, to the Bas, to the Eifah. If the Bas is 3 Saw, so too must the Eifah be 3 Saw. So ask the Gemara, Obas Gufa Minolan. How do we know that the Bas is 3 Saw? Elay Mamediksib, because the Pasuk continues saying there, Law says, Maisar Chaymer, that the Bas is 10% of a Chaymer, and the Chaymer, Maisar Chaymer Bas, that the Bas is the Maisar of Chaymer, which means 10%. And the Chaymer's 30 saw. So 10% of 30 saw is 3, and that's how we come to know that the Bas equals 3 saw. If that's the way we're going to come to that conclusion, then we don't have to use the Bas to help us understand how big the Eifa is. Eifa nami oksiv vasires ha-Chaymer Eifa. That the Eifa is 10% of the Chaymer. So if we know that the Chaymer is 30 saw, we'll know without relying on what the Bas is, that the Eifa must equal 3 Saw. Rather, says the Gemara, El Chaymer lo yadana. We're not really sure how large the Chaymer is. So we're not sure how large the Chaymer is, so it doesn't help us understand how big the Eifa is, but equally it doesn't help us understand how big the Bas is. Hachinami lo yadana kama. So we're back to where we started. If we know that the Chaymer is for sure 30 saw, then I don't need to rely on the Bas to help me know what the size of the Eif is. If on the other hand, I don't know precisely how big the Chaymer is, so then the Bas, I don't know for sure how big the Bas is, and if I don't know for sure how big the Eif is. Elam Hacha, the Pasuk says, V'chayk HaShemen HaBas. The Pasuk speaks about the Bas when it speaks about the oil. Or Maisa Habas Menakar, the Bas when it's 10% of the car, Aseres Abatim Chaymer, Ki Aseres Abatim Chaymer. Which means as follows. The Torah is the Pasuk is teaching us that the Bas is 10% of the car. That the car is equal to 30 saw, that they knew for sure. So now, based on this Pasuk, that the Pasuk teaches us that the Bas is 10% of the car, and we know that the car is 30 saw. So now when the other pasuk equates the size of the eifah to the bas, if the bas is equal to 3 saw, the eifah is also equal to 3 saw. I should have said this earlier. What is the difference between the bas and the eifah? If they're both the same, they equal 3 saw. The bas is a liquid measure, and the eifah is a measure of something that's dry. There are two words of introduction that we need to speak about as we get into the next piece of Gemara. There's one halacha, we learned it extensively in Masechta Bamitzvah, the halacha of Einoa. That if somebody overcharges or undercharges, the halacha is as follows. If the over or undercharge is a six, is more than a six, bitul mekach, the entire sale is null and void. If it's exactly a sixth, the sale stands, but the overcharge has to be returned. Why? Why? The Mefarshim explained, because people need to buy things. So if they're going to always be nullifying transactions, at the end of the day, the customer won't have what he needs. The primary issue, however, our Gemara discusses is a different issue, very related, but somewhat different. And that is that Chazal said, HaMestaker al Yestaker Yoyse Mechaymish, that if somebody is in business to sell, he shouldn't earn more than a sixth. And there's a lot of rules regarding this halacha. And that's why the halacha is actually not relevant b'zman hazeh. Firstly, the halacha is only regarding items that are absolutely needed for chayi nefesh, food items. Anything that's past something that people need to survive day to day, so don't buy it. If the seller wants to make a decent profit and you're not interested in it, so then don't buy. You don't need it to survive. Moreover, the halacha only applies when there's a bezdin in control that could institute these rules, to the degree that I saw that the Mefarshim suggest that even if there's a bezdin, but we know, unfortunately, not everybody follows the rules of bezdin. As soon as there are people not following the rules of bezdin, this rule doesn't apply. Because anyway, it won't make a difference. If there's violators, so there's no control of the market anyway. Interesting shaila is as follows. When we say that you're supposed to make, you're entitled to make a sixth profit, the sixth profit means after your expenses. So not, and when we speak about expenses, expenses doesn't only mean what I paid for the material I'm selling. If I have a store, I have to pay rent, and I have to pay utilities, and I have to pay taxes. There's interesting, Shiloh, the Pesach could discuss, what about salary? Is salary considered an expense, or salary considered, that's your profit, equal your salary? Another machloikus rishonim I saw is, let's say I bought an item in a volatile economic situation. This is a very common question. I bought an item and the price of that commodity, the price of that item went up. So now the question is, when we figure a sixth, do we figure a sixth according to the price that I paid? That's what the opinion, it seems, of the Rambam is. The Ravid says, no, we figured according to replacement cost. Because if I now wanted to buy this item to continue doing business, I wouldn't be able to get it at the original price I paid. I'd have to pay the current market price. And therefore, the halacha is that I pay according to the profit is calculated according to the current price, not according to the original price. Another interesting discussion that the Paiskim have, the Achroidim discussed this question, is what happens if somebody says, I want to make less? He was saying that you're entitled to make a sixth. Let's say somebody's prepared to make less profit. And usually when somebody's prepared to make less profit, there's somewhat of an ulterior motive, because he wants to drive the competition out of business. Is that also, maybe a sixth means specifically a sixth, not more, however, not less either. Or did Chazal only speak about more, not less? Machlokes Achroinim, Darach HaShulchan seems to be Mekel, others seem to be Machma. So begins the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, we learned in our Mishnah that they changed how much there was in a saw. That means, originally, there was, what was originally six, was now five. Comment Shmuel, Eimei Sifin Alamidus Yais Mishtus, when we change the measurements, we should never make a fluctuation greater than a six. Whether it's doing in a measurement, whether it's doing a valuation of a coin. Interesting, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring this halacha. As the Mefarshim explained, there is no need to bring this halacha because the control of money is no longer in the hands of Bezdin. It's in the hands of governments. Mamastaker, lo yistaka yois mishtos. Says the Ramai Tama. Why is the sixth of sealing? Ask Mar Ilay Mishma Fukitara. If we're concerned that if you start changing things too dramatically, that will bring inflation. And the Mefarshim have a different opinions how inflation happens. But Pasha Pshat, what happens is as follows. If the pound becomes bigger, nobody gives anything away for free. So it's going to cost you more. Once things start costing more, it starts a spiral of inflation that's hard to control. The sellers look at things differently. The buyers look at things differently. And therefore, we wanted to prevent an inflation cycle. Ask them if that's the concern. Then we shouldn't even allow shtos. We should be very careful in not making any changes. Ella mishum eino. We're concerned that if it's going to be more than a sixth, what's going to happen is that the seller is not necessarily aware that they changed it more than a sixth, and he's going to charge based on the old amounts. Then it'll turn out that he undercharged more than a sixth, and there'll be bitul mekach. And bitul mekach, we don't want to have all transactions become voided. Kihech delayla have a bitul mekach. Because as we said, once it's more than a sixth, the sales become voided. Ask the Gemara, that isn't a factor here. Because although we said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara that when the Aino is a sixth exactly, there is no bitul mekach, it's just you have to pay back the over or under charge, there is an exception to that rule. And that is Davar Shebe Midah Shebe Mishkol Minyan. If you're selling a precise amount, then if you don't sell what you're supposed to sell, that's just cheating. It has nothing to do with Aino. That means, if you're supposed to buy 12 eggs from me, you're supposed to get a dozen eggs, and you open up your box, and you find 11 eggs in there, so it's not a sixth. It's less than a sixth. But at the end of the day, you were supposed to get 12 eggs, and you're entitled to get back. So here we're talking about a mishkel. Here we're talking about a weight. We're talking about whether it's a weight of the item being sold, or we're talking about the value of the Mateya, so there doesn't make a difference if it's sixth or not. So what's the difference, sixth or not? V'amar Rava called Davar Shebe Midah Shebe Mishkel Sheminyan, afil b'chus megdei chino chayzer. Says the Gemara, elam shum tagra. We're concerned for the merchant. Kehecha de lelimte pseida. What are we concerned for, says the Gemara? That I am a merchant. Buy an item in one place, come somewhere else, which was the common profession of many Jews, come to another place to sell, and when I come to my new place to sell, I'm not aware that they changed. So what happens here is that nobody's cheating. I'm selling a pound, but the pound is bigger than it used to be. And people are going to end up taking a pound, and I'm going to end up having lost all my profit, because let's remember, my entire profit margin is a sixth. So if the entire amount that could be changed is a sixth, so even if we'll have a situation where I, the seller, I'm not aware of this new valuation, I won't lose money, I'll break even. If, however, it'll become a greater differential, there's an issue that I might end up losing money. Let's read the words of Gemara. Elam Shem Tagra, Kehecha Delaylente Pseida. Says the Gemara, if we're so concerned about the merchant who's not aware of the change, so pseidu de lamta, raf chleboi, are we only concerned that he should break even and not make any profit? Says the Gemara, zoven v'zoven tagriakri, a merchant that doesn't make profit is not a businessman. So if that is our concern, then we shouldn't allow even a sixth of a differential. So we're back to where we started. We started with a rule that you can never change by more than a sixth. Why? Says the Gemara, Elam Rav Chizda, Shmuel Kra Ashkat Fadarish. He based his halacha again on a pasuk in Yecheskel. There's an interesting pasuk. The pasuk says, Esrim Hashekel, Esrim Geira, Asar Shkolim, Chamesh Esri Shkolim, Asar V'Chamesh Shekel, Hamani Yilchem. The pasuk speaks about three types of shekel. One is 25, one is 20, and one is 50. 15 equals 60. Mefarshim discuss why, if it's trying to come to the total of 60, doesn't the pasuk just say 60? Why is it broken into three types of shkolim? A number of terutzim in the Mefarshim. One terutz in the Mefarshim is that just because a $100 bill equal $100 doesn't mean that you didn't have a $20 bill and a $50 bill. So what they're saying is that the mana equals 60, but they had different denominations of currency. That's one pshat I saw. Another pshat that I saw, very nice pshat, is that through Birkas Kohanim, when the Kohanim give bracha to Klal Yisrael, that is mashpia, that brings panosa to Klal Yisrael. And if you look at the three psukim of Birkas Kohanim, there's a total of 60 words. One pasuk has 25, one has 20, and one has 15. So the pasuk is referring that how do we get to this bracha parnasa? We're talking about money. How do you get to this bracha parnasa? Through Birkas Kohanim. But ask the Gemara, this is a very difficult pasuk. Because here it says, 60 shkolim make 60 shkolim, 60 dinrim make up a mana. Now I remember when we were in yeshiva, when they always spoke about a mana, mana was always 100. Mana was always 100. But we also always learned that a dinner is there are four dinner in a shekel. So if we're saying there's a total of 60, 60 times 4 equal to 40. So why do we always say that there is 100 shekelim in a mana? Based on this pasuk, it should be 240. Ask the Gemara, mana, does a mana contain masan v'arba hava? How do we get up to 240? Says the Gemara, there must be the following explanation. Shema min atlas. There are three ways of understanding, there are three rules that we extrapolate based on this pasuk. Number one, says the Gemara, shema min amana shel kodesh kafel hayim. It was double. So yes, the regular mana, as I said, is 100. The mana of hegdish, which we have in other places that they use larger measurements by kodesh, is double. So what's 100 in regular commerce is 200 by the hegdish. Furthermore, the shmamina mesifin al midas, they made it bigger. But how much are they allowed to make it bigger? They mesifin yoisim mishtos. You can make it bigger by a sixth. The shmamina shtus mobar, which means as follows. If the way we do math, a sixth of 200 is not 40. A sixth of 100 is about 15, 16. That's 16. So 16 plus 16 would be 32. So 200 plus 32 is 232. How do we get 240? Because that's called milgav. The way they did the math was milbar. If you have 240 and you take out a sixth of the final result of 240, 40 is a sixth of the final. So what we see from this pasuk is that they added. How much did they add? However, they only added a sixth milbar. So this is a raya that when you change, you could change a sixth milbar. Amar Ravina, and says Ravina, actually our Mishnah is the same, makes the same point. Masnisa namideka diktani, because our Mishnah began with the words ha'taida ha'isabach chamis son Yerushalaymis. It went from 6 to 5. 6 to 5 is a sixth. Shmamina, that they always kept the fluctuation up not more than a sixth. Not because of any specific economic concern, but based on a pasuk. Says the Mishnah. So we've established that they brought four types of loaves. They brought four types of loaves, 10 of each. Says the Mishnah. The Kohen would take one of each loaf, one of each type loaf, as truma. Shenema, vikari mena echad mikol carbon truma l'Hashem. The Mefarshim discuss, is it the obligation, is it the Kohen who takes, or is it the owner who has to give the Kohen? Another interesting question that I saw that the Mefarshim discuss is, as we just said, there are four types of loaves. And you have to give from each type of loaf one loaf to the Kohen. So what does that mean? Does it mean only after all four loaves are given to the Kohen, then may the Yisrael, the owner, eat the other 36. Or as any loaf is given to the Kohen, the other 9 of that type are permitted. Each type of loaf is considered separate. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Echad, Shlayitl Paris. You have to give him a whole loaf. You can't give him a loaf that's not whole. Interesting that the Achroinim, I saw the Karen Eira, points out that even though we know in Kachim, the Halach is Shonal of Akos of Lakiv, the Torah has to repeat the din in order to be essential. This din of Layitl Paris, it's Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, and you can't, if you didn't give him a whole loaf, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. We call carbon, Sheikol Gabon is Shavis, Shlayitim Karbon al Chaveri. So there's a Machlaikis Rishonim, how to understand this line of the Mishnah. Some Rishonim explain what this line means to say. Is let's say I choose to make 15 of one type and 5 of the other type. Unacceptable. You have to make specifically 10 of each type. And that's what, there's no vav here. Because if you're not going to have them equal each 10 of a type, you're going to end up giving not the same, you're going to have a problem how to give the kohen his loaf. Others say that the Mishnah is teaching us two separate dinim. One din is the din that we just said. You have to have 10 of each type. And then the Mishnah is teaching us another din. Let's say I choose to give the kohen 2 matzah and no chametz. Not acceptable. You have no choice. One of each. According to that, these are two separate dinim. One din is, Sheikol Gamanos Shavas, you have to have 10 of each. And according to this gear, so that is a vav. Vish la yitim ikamil chaveroi, you have to give one of each, you can't make any substitutions. Continues the pasuk. L'kayin hazarek stam ashlamim, lo yiyya, the kayin gets these, v'shan nach lebalim. Tan Rabbanan begins the gemara, v'hikrav mimenu, minamachubar. It has to be connected. So machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what is the definition of a mechubar? Rashi says that all 40 loaves have to be in one keli when you give the kohen his shear. Tosfos says it doesn't necessarily have to be in one keli, they just have to be near each other. Tosfos brings a raya, because the halacha is when you're giving truma, there's halacha and a mukaf, but they don't have to all be in one receptacle. As long as they're near each other, it's good enough. The Migdash David attempts to defend the pshat of Rashi, because he says, by truma, every kernel comes with its independent obligation to take truma samaisers. So as long as they're in the same proximity, it's good enough. Whereas by truma, by lachmei toida, you don't begin with that type of a situation, and therefore they have to be, according to Rashi, in one keli. Echad, the din we just learned in the Mishnah, shlayitl paros, so you have to give him a whole leaf, a loaf, you can't give him a broken loaf. Mikol karbon, shlayikol kabanos of shavus. They have to be all the same amount. Shleitim and a karmel chaveri. So the pasuk said, Truma Lashem. But the pasuk doesn't identify how much is the Truma Lashem. Any idea, mikamihi. I don't know how much is the Truma Lashem. Says the Braisa, Hareini don. Nemakan Truma. The Torah uses by the Lachmei Toida the word Truma. The name of the Truma is Meiser. And the Torah says by Trumas Maisa, Truma. What is Trumas Maisa? We know that when a person has crops, he has to give Truma every year, whatever Maisa he has to give every year. And when he gives the Levi his Maisa, the Levi has to take off Trumas Maisa, 10%, and he has to give it to the Kohen. So just like there, Malahalon, Echad Miasara, it's 10%. Afkan, so too, but Alach Meitoida, Echad Miasara, which is 10%, of one of each type of loaf. Why don't we learn from the regular case of truma? So Mepharshim say, because by the regular case of truma, by the regular truma, where the halach is chita achas peteres asakri, the Torah doesn't say the word truma. However, by trumas meiser and by lach meitoida, the Torah uses the words truma, so that's why truma gedoila is not part of the equation. Says the Gemara, Atalach l'derechsu. Who says we should learn the halacha of how much truma of lach meitoida should be given to the kohen from the halacha of trumas maisa? Maybe we should learn this way. Asked the Braisa, Nemekan truma. The Torah uses the words truma by lach meitoida. V'nav bikulam truma. By Bikurim, the Torah uses the word truma. Ma'alahalon ein la shir. Just like there is no shir. Afkan ein la shir. Chita achas peteres asakri. So sort of a farshim asks that we have a rule throughout Shas that whenever you have an option, l'chumra makshinan or l'kula makshinan, do you learn it l'kula l'chumra? We always go l'chumra. So how does the Gemara want to learn? Preferably from Bikurim than from Trumas Maisa. By Trumas Maisa, the obligation will be 10%. By Bikurim, it will be much less. So we should always go l'chumra. What's the Bryce's question? They're so beautiful teretz. Nothing is black and white. It's not that this is purely chumra, this is purely kula. Yes, indeed, Trumas Maisa has to be 10%. Bikurim could be less. But on the other hand, and we learned this concept in this Masechta, by Meiser, it's 10%, and it can't be more than 10%. If you give more than 10%, we learned you have all sorts of complications. By Bikurim, you can give Chita Achas. But if you give your entire field Bikurim, it's fine. So it's not obvious which is the Chumra, which is the Kula. Ma'alahalam by Bikurim ain't la Shir. Afkan ain't la Shir. And there should be no specific Shir by the Lach Mitoida. Responds the Braisa, Nir Lamidoima. Which is a better match? Says the Braisa. Dona Truma. Shenachrea Truma. After you give the Truma Smeiser, there is no other Truma. Mitruma Shenachrea Truma. From, just like by the Lach Mitoida. After you give the Kohen his part, you get the rest. Val Yechiach Bikurim Shiyeshachrea Truma. If you give Bikurim, that doesn't take away your obligation to take Truma Smeiser from that field. So Mefarshim want to use this Gemara in reference to a very famous Machloikis Rishonim. If there's a Chiyuv Trumas and Maisris by fruits as well. We know the Torah says Dagon Tirish V'Yitzer. But what about other fruits that grow in Israel? We know that Bikurim come from all Shiva Saminim, which includes Rimonim and other, and Ta'anim. So if the Chiyuv of Trumas and Maisris is only by Dog and Tirish V'Yitzer, why is the Braisa saying that by Bikurim there's still an obligation to give Trumas and Maisris? Aren't Bikurim from certain fruits that there is no Chiv to give Trumas and Maisris? It must be, they use as a proof, that the Chiv of Truma and Maisr, Midoraisa, is even by fruits. Which is a very compelling raya. How do we defend? The answer is that it doesn't, when the Gemara says, what the Braisa says, that by Bikurim there's still a Chiyuv Trumas Maisris, it doesn't mean by all the types of Bikurim, by most things that are brought from Bikurim there's still a Chiyuv Trumas Maisris, not necessarily by all. However, says the Gemara, we can make a counter argument. A Kalach Derech Zu. Daran Truma Nechel from Makom Kodesh. We're talking about the Lech Metoidu, which have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Mitruma Nechel from Makom Kodesh. Bikurim have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. V'atachiach Trumas Meiser, and Trumas Meiser is not a better match, Shemnechelos become Mokim, it may be eaten anywhere. Tamaloyma Mimena Trumal Hashem. Here the Torah, but Allah Mitoida uses the word Mimena Trumal Hashem. V'ksiba Trumas Meiser, Mimena Truma, L'gzerishava. So we learn L'gzerishava. Says the Gemara, L'madin lo Truma Sheikh Mesar. So we've proven successfully that the amount that has to be given to the Kohen is 10%. L'madin lo Truma Sheikh Mesar. However, continues the Braisa, Avol, any day mekami chala, how much flour is used? Says the Braisa, Hareni don, nemekan lechem, nemelahalan b'shtei lechem lechem. The Torah uses the word lechem by the shtei lechem. Malahalan, just like by the shtei lechem, it's isarin lechala. One isarin, every chala is made up of an isarin of flour. Afkan, so too by the Lach Meitoida, Isaron L'chal. Each chal is made up of an Isaron of flour. Ask the Braisa, a Kalach L'derech Zu. Why don't we learn the following way? Nem Akan Lechem, V'nem B'lechem Aponim Lechem. The Torah uses the words Lechem by Lechem Aponim as well. Ma'al Halon, as we learned yesterday, Shnei Yisroinus. Each loaf is made up of Shnei Yisroinus by the Lechem Aponim, because we said yesterday is 24 Isaron for 12 loaves. Afkan, will say that each challah should be made up of shnei esroinus, of two esroin of flour, says the Braisa, nirin lemidoyme, what is a better match? Donan mincha bo chometz im azevach. The lach metoida are chometz, the challahs are chometz, and they come along with a carbon. Min mincha bo chometz im azevach. The shtei alechem is chometz. that comes along with a carbon, as we've learned many times, the shtei lechem accompanies the kifsei atzeres. Va'yichiach lechem upon him, better than bringing the lechem upon him into the mix, shenebar chametz mezevach. That's why the Gemara says that the shtei lechem is a better match to the lachmei toido. Suggest the brisa, or kalach l'derechsu, maybe we could argue this way. Dan mincha bo mi'aretz v'chutz l'aretz, min ha'chadosh min ha'yashon. The lachmei toido could be made out of grain from Eretz Yisrael, from chutz l'aretz, chadosh, yashon. Min mincha haba mi'aretz v'chutz l'aretz, min ha'chadosh v'yashon. As the lechem upon him could be made from any type of grain. Va'a yuchichu shtei ha'lechem, versus learning the halach of lachmei toido v'shtei ha'lechem, she'en ha'bas ela min ha'chadosh min ha'aretz. We're there, since the entire purpose of the Shtei Alechem is to allow us, as we've learned so many times, to bring Menachos in the base of Minchas in the base of Migdosh from the Chadosh. It has to come specifically from Eretz Yisrael grown Chadosh. So, which is the better? How do we know that we should learn any sorin flour per challah? Tamaloymer, Shemimishmeseichem, Taviu Lechem Shtayim, Shein Tamaloymer Taviu. The Torah uses by the Shtei Lechem that superfluous word to view. Oma tamalim to view. Shekal mashatamevi memakim acher. Wherever the Torah requires us to make loaves, harei kuzeh. Ma lahalon. Just like by the Shtei Lechem, the recipe is a sarim lechala. Here too, the recipe is a sarim lechala. Ask the Gemara if you're going to follow that recipe. Ima lahalon shnei esroinus. What is the total amount of flour used by the Shtei Alechem? Two Isarin, because you have Shtei Alechem. You have two loaves altogether. Maybe here as well, Afkan, the total amount of flour that should be used to make the chalas of the Lachmei Toida should only be two Isarin. And we said at the beginning of this year that they used 10 Isarin to make the chalas. How do we know that that's the proper recipe? Tamaloyma, Tiyena. There's an extra yod, we're going to speak about this in tomorrow's shir, lemanu asar l'chametz. So this is how we've established that 10 isarin are used for the chametz loaves of the lachmei toida. Continues the braisa. Asar l'matz minayim, as we learned at the beginning of today's shir, they used a total of 10 isarin of flour for the matzah loaves. How do we know that that is the proper formula? Tamaloymer, achalos lechem chametz. Neged chametz, as much flour as you use for the chametz, havei matzah. That's how much flour you should use for the matzah type loaves. Nimtzu, so we end up with the result that you bring esrim asroinus lachmei toida, that they bring a total of 20 sorin of flour for the lachmei toida. Asora, 10 of those isorins are used for the chametz loaves, vasora lematzah. And 10 of those asarin are used for the matzah loaves. Yochol, asarin shem matzah yulai kel elamim menachot. How do we know that, as we learned in the Mishnah, again at the beginning of the year, that we have to use three different type of matzah loaves? Maybe they should all be the same type. Tamaloymer, im al toida yakrivena, vikriv al zevach al toida, chalas matzahs belula b'shemen, so that's matzahs. Rikikin matzis b'shukin b'shemen is the rikikin. Solus revekas is the revuchin. Nimtzu, so we have shloish asroin of shlish. If we take the 10 isarin that we're using for these three types of matzah, nimtzu, shloish asroin of shlish, l'kol min v'min. We divide 10 by 3, equals 3 1/3 per type. Which will give us v'sholosh chalos l'isarin. We make three loaves out of every isarin. The nimtza lachmei toida aboim, so we have a total of 40 loaves, 10 times 4. Noitel mehem arba, we take 4 of those 40s, 4 of those 40, v'noisim l'koyin, which are given to the koyin, v'nesha'a n'chalon l'balim, and the remainder are eaten by the owner. Amamar, we learned, so we just finished this long braisa. Amamar, now the Gemara goes into analyze the braisa. We set at the top of the amid, Vehikr v'menu, min ha-mechubar. That they all have to be together. Ask the Gemara al-Ma'ato, if that's the rule, the Ksiv, but it says by every carbon, v'es kol chelba yarmimenu. So how do we understand mechubar there? My mechubar ikar by a carbon, answers the Gemara, Kirav Chizda Amar Avimi, Dam Rav Chizda Amar Avi, Shlei Nateich Basa Kodem Shitalim Imrin. That you shouldn't cut up the meat before you take the Imrim out to be put on the Mizbeach. And the Mefarshim say that this applies by all Kabbanis, even by Kabban Shlomo, for example, where there is no din of Nituach. Amamar, continues the Gemara, Nema Kan Truma, when we were trying to ascertain what percent of the Lachmei Toida are giving to the Kayan. So we said we learned from the Trumas Meiser that it's 10%, 1 of 10. Nema Kan Truma, but Nema Trumas Meiser Truma. Ask the Gemara, V'neil of Trumas Midjan. We know that when they went to war, they had to give two types of gifts. One part they had to give to the Kayan, Tel Ozer, which was 1/500. And they had to give to the Leviim 1/50. Machlokes Rishayin, what the Gemara is referring to. If the shear should be 1/500, or the shear should be 1/50. Says the Gemara, Don and Truman Nehegis Ladiris, but Truman Nehegis Ladiris. Lach Metayda, we're here forever. Hopefully come back soon. As was Trumas Meiser. V'atachich Trumas Medjin, Shinena Nehegis Ladiris, was a one-time event. Ask the Gemara, V'nailim and Trumas Chala. Because by Chala, the shear is 1/24, when it's taking chal in your private home, and a baker has to take 1/48. But ask the mefarshim, those that learn masechta chala, know that midaraisa, there is no shear for chala. Midaraisa, it's like truma. Chita achs p'teres is a kri. So what's the Gemara's question? They explain what the Gemara means to ask is, just like by chala, midaraisa, chita achs p'teres is a kri, and then the rabbanon put on a shear of 1/24 or 1/48, so too should be the aloch by lach metoida, that by midaraisa, the minimal amount, the smallest amount is fine, and rabbanon, and here too we have a machlokes rishonim, is it 1/24 or 1/48? Tanad beri shmo, dona davish shenem ba mimenu, lafuket trumas chala, the loinam ba menet trumal Hashem. By rava, trumas lach metoida, chayavim la misa chaymish, ayin chayavim la misa chaymish. Everybody agrees that a Yisrael may not eat the part given to the Kohen. To the degree that I saw that the Mefarshim suggests if somebody does, he gets Malkus. To the degree that I saw that you can't feed it to your family. To the degree that I saw that if a Bas Kohen, we know if she terminates a marriage without children, she goes back, this she can't eat. A Machloikus of a Kohen could use it to be Makadosh Nisha. But the question is the mitzvah chaimish or not? Do we say kivin dishkis trumas meiser, ke trumas meiser domi, and if somebody eats trumas meiser, he's chayv karen v'chaimish, or duma boy v'chemishasoy, the Torah used by trumas meiser that word, miyat rachmana, that strictly by trumas meiser there's a din like that, not by lach metayda. And similarly, ask the Gemara, we know there's a shear of medames, when truma falls into chulin, you need 100 to mevatel it, is the same din applied by the lach metayda or not? And the Gemara remains, is roiv enough, and the Gemara remains with a teiku.
How have you been? I owe you a call back, but I didn't call me.